All right. Well, if you have your Bible, would you turn to Isaiah chapter 1 tonight? And we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 1. The most quoted Old Testament book is the book of Isaiah in the New Testament. And there are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And some people want to debate whether or not Isaiah was the author, that there are more than one Isaiah out there. I just like to read the Bible. Verse number 1 of chapter 1 says, "The vision of Isaiah." That's good enough for me. Good enough for me. And tonight what I'd like to do is this. I have a brief message, but a pointed message. And that is this. If you look in verse 1, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem." So much of the book of Isaiah is pointed toward Judah and Jerusalem. And the reason is because the other tribes have been carried away into captivity. Judah is not yet in captivity at this point. In fact, if you look at the king's name there in the days of Uzziah, if you were to go to the book of Chronicles, I think it's chapter 29, maybe chapter 24, you would read about how that Israel prospered under King Uzziah. And so because of that, you read about the things that Israel is involved in. And just for parents today, maybe this would be just a verse to read that will maybe help your heart. Verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Can I say, listen, tonight, there is no formula that you can employ to have your children to turn out to live for Jesus Christ. And I think you ought to take them to church. I think you ought to teach them the Bible. I think you ought to pray with them. I think you ought to pray over them. But if God had children that He raised and nourished and brought up and they rebelled against Him, how do you think that we could have our children rebel against us? So when that happens, it's not a surprise. Now, he goes and he begins to list all of the things that Israel is doing. The sin sickness. And then he changes the tenor of the conversation when you get down to verse 16, 17, and 18. Don't you look at that. "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Now, I've heard a lot of preaching out of verse number 18. I've heard a lot of people take that verse and talk about salvation. And I think it's a great verse to speak about that issue. And God's saying, "Come now and let us reason together." God's interested in reasoning with people. But I've heard very few messages that deal with verses 16 and 17, particularly verse 17. And by God's grace tonight, what I want to deal with is in verse 17. Those four words, "learn to do well." Would you help me pray about that? Lord, we sure thank you once again to be able to open this precious book. And God, we thank you that you are interested in our lives and you invite us to sit down and to reason with us. Lord, thank you for the day. Oh God, thank you for the day that you finally broke through the hardness and broke through the darkness and pulled me to the other side out of a life of sin. Lord, thank you for the blessing of having sins that were marking my life. Thank you, Lord, you can make those things as white as snow, Lord. And I pray, God, tonight you'd help us and you'd help me to help our people as we have stepped so much farther towards you than we were just a few weeks ago. I pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you look at the passage, if you look what the Bible says, in verse number 16, he says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil." It sounds like that God is giving them the mandate to take and do something for themselves. In other words, you wash yourself. Now, when I was a little boy, I can't remember it, but I know that my mother somehow, somewhere washed me. In fact, we had a little bit of fun at the dinner table tonight. You know, when you have children in super church that are 3 and 4 years of age, and there's certain things that they don't understand or know, you know, they don't know their name, or maybe they don't know what a color is, or maybe they don't know what something else is. And we were sitting around, you know, my son could not believe that a child would not know their colors. You say, well, everybody's born knowing their colors. Nobody's born knowing their colors. They have no idea what black is, what blue is, what yellow is, what white is. They don't understand those things. And when you're a little child, you know, the comment was, and I made the same comment, when I was listening to my wife teach K-4, I remember going in when I was very interested in Abby, and I'm still interested, by the way. And I would go into that class. It was amazing to me that somebody that's 3, 4 years of age would have trouble knowing what a number is and knowing what a color is. And I told her, I was born knowing all my colors. I knew all the numbers, all those things. Which is not true. I also wasn't born being able to take care of myself. I know my mother took care of me. I know she bathed me. I know she cleaned me up. I know there were times, even as I grew up, maybe as a 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old boy, that my mother would help me get clean. And I understand that. And sometimes I think what we do is we say, okay, God, I want you to clean me up. And I understand the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. There's only one person that can cleanse you with the blood, and that's God Almighty. There's no, you can't cleanse yourself. But he makes a point. No, I want you, wash you. You get clean. You wash yourself. You make yourself clean. And you put away the evil. You put away your evil and cease to do evil. That's pretty simple, straightforward. He's telling Israel, listen, stop your sinning. Stop your sinning. Put away that evil. In other words, you remove the evil from your life. And what we've had happen, you know, this is a garbage can. How many of you think that garbage belongs in a garbage can? Don't you think, isn't that what belongs in a garbage can? And honestly, really, before we can get to verse 17, we have to talk about verse 16. And we, listen, there are things that need to be taken and removed from your life and from my life and thrown in a garbage can and taken and burned up and forsaken and never looked at again. And I can tell you what some of those things are. It might be a vice. It might be something that you have in your life that's a vice. You know, I have no idea. I would say nobody at Tabernacle Baptist Church believes in drinking or social drinking or anything like that. But if you did have somewhere in your cabinet that you keep a little bottle of wine or something like that, I'd tell you what you need to do is you need to get rid of that. You need to get rid of that. It might be some other vice. It might be gambling. It might be that you need to get rid of the cards, or maybe you need to get rid of cigarettes, or maybe you need to get rid of tobacco, or maybe you need to get rid of some magazines that you have, or maybe you need to get rid of a little book that's got phone numbers in it. I tell you this, I'm going to leave this out for a couple weeks, and if there's something you need to get rid of, I'd just tell you, why don't you just put it in that garbage can right there and let's just get rid of it for good. It might be music you need to get rid of. I had somebody give a good report to me. They said, preacher, you were talking about getting rid of music. And I just want you to know that in our family, we quit listening to the country music station. And we started listening to another preacher in the mornings on the way to work. You know what I say to that? Amen. Get rid of some music. I did that when I got right. God dumped a lot of music, a lot of cassette tapes. I won't try to explain cassette tapes, but anyway, I got rid of cassette tapes. There may be some, but you know, the generation we live in, there may be some things you need to get rid of, like videos on Instagram. There may be some things that you have on a digital device or a media platform that you need to get rid of. And you say, well, preacher, I can't put them in there. Well, you know, I tell you, you can maybe just write a little note, a little letter to God. You can take, sign that thing, God, now on, I'm never going to put any kind of video out there that has any kind of filthy words in it, suggestive tones to it, anything that looks wrong. God, I'm going to get that out of my life, fold that thing up, put that in the garbage can, and get it out of your life. Amen. Amen. Now, that's God's instruction. You wash you. You wash. You get clean. Put away the evil and cease to do evil. Stop doing that. Get it out of your life. You need to get rid of it. Stop it. Now, there's some great comparative scripture. Go, if you would, leave a mark right there in Isaiah 1. Go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. In Acts 19, there is a revival that takes place. And that revival takes place. And as that revival is taking place, the Word of God is growing and it's becoming mighty and it's prevailing. That's Acts 19:20. So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. There is just a great working of God. But if you go back and look at verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. In other words, they looked and they said, you guys are burning some very valuable things. And they took these curious arts, and you can read in that what you want, whether it had to do with magic, which was something that was very prevalent in Ephesus, whether it had to do with witchcraft, other gods. What they did is the people, if you look at it again in verse 19, many of them also which used curious arts. There was something they were practicing, but they had a change of heart. And that change of heart changed their direction. And they said, I'm not going to practice this anymore. Instead, I'm going to burn it up. Amen. They threw it in there. I remember hearing about Brother Larry Brown out in Iowa, how he took and I think he took an axe to a TV. You know, some people, maybe the thing they need to get rid of is some of the stuff they watch on television. Got to get rid of those things. Got to change the music I listen to. Got to change some things in my life that are there that don't need to be there. And here in Acts 19, there's some people that said, we want to be separated from it. And they burned them. Do you see that? Look at your Bible. They burned them. When you burn a book, that book is ruined. It's done. It's gone. And are you listening tonight? Come on now. Some of you young people, you know what you need to do? You need to get rid of some of your music. And not just now while it feels good and you're moving toward God. You need to get rid of it permanently. Amen. Delete it. Get rid of it. Throw it away. And I said young people. How about I just say to all of us? Maybe we all need to get something out of our life. Right. Something that is a weight, something that is a sin. And you know, I'm convinced many people know what that is. And tonight, I'm just asking you, if you were to ask God, God, is there anything I need to get rid of and throw down in there? Is there anything that I should get rid of? Is there something that God would say, yeah, you know what? I know I need to get rid of that. You need to get rid of that. Cease to do evil. Now, I think that's the easy part. Go back, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 1. I think the easy part in the passage is ceasing from evil. I really believe that. I think the easiest thing that we read is stopping the evil, making you clean. Now, the reason I say that is because in verse 17, he says, learn to do well. Now, I'm going to tell you another thing. Here's what I think. I think it's not balanced to get rid of a bunch of things in your life and not to put the right stuff into your life. That's out of balance. And what he's saying is, there's some things you need to stop. There's some things you need to clean up. And I'm telling you right now, I'm praising God that there's some people that have got some things out of their life. But I'd say this, if you haven't gotten them out of your life yet, now would be a good time to start. We can just keep revival going. The cleaner we get, the better off we're going to be when it comes to walking with God. Just get it out of your life. But to learn to do well, that's another step. In fact, that's such an important step. Leave a mark in Isaiah, and I want you to go, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12. Great principle in the Bible. And it's a principle, I think, that's important. One that I know was added into my life unbeknownst to me. My dad never sat me down and said, all right, son, you got rid of all those things. We need to put some good things in your life. I told you, I got rid of so many albums. I got rid of so much music. I threw away hundreds of albums. Got rid of things that I loved to listen to. And Dad said, I got some new music for you. And he gave me music, gave me choir music, all those kind of things. And I put some stuff in my life. Now look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 12. It's an important principle. Verse 43. All right, watch this. Verse 43 says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, He walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Now watch. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, now he's talking about the house as a man. All right. He's talking about that house being the person that he was filling their life. Thus he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Well, that's good. It's empty. The filth has been gotten out. It's swept. It's been cleaned. And it's garnished. There's little things that have been added to it, but no substance. A garnish. You know what a garnish is? A garnish is those little bitty pieces of greenery that they put on your plate for decoration that you're not supposed to eat when you get your meal. That's a garnish. That's all it is. It's decorative. And by the way, the more decorations they put on your plate, the more your plate costs. Did you know that? Right. So here this unclean spirit, just one. Now, are you paying attention? Just one unclean spirit goes out of a man. When he comes back, it's empty, it's swept, it's garnished. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 45. Look at it. Then goeth he, talking about the unclean spirit, and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. You see that in your Bible? This unclean spirit goes and finds seven more unclean spirits. That's eight now. And they're more wicked than the unclean spirit was. And look what the Bible says. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So here's what I'm trying to say tonight. Listen, if you're not careful, what happens is this. We hear revival preaching and we hear the preaching and God touches our heart. And whether we actually put it in a garbage can or not, there are things we get rid of. I'm going to get rid of that bad relationship, which is a good choice. I'm going to get rid of that music in my life, which is a good choice. I'm going to get rid of all these things. And as we're emptying our life and we're throwing these things away, if we're not careful, what we won't do is we won't do what the other side of that coin is. You need to fill your life with the right thing. You know, it's one thing to be empty of sin, but you know what you need to be? Filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You need to be filled with God and not just empty of this. And here's what happens. There are churches and they're good churches and they're Bible-believing churches. And they have a standard and they preach that standard about people wearing the right clothes, listening to the right music, having the right friends, and people get rid of stuff in their life. But they never go to the other side and learn to do well. They stop halfway. They get these things out, but they never go the next step. Come on, how many of you have seen young people come home from youth camp, fired up, only a month later to be back doing the same things they used to be doing? You ever seen that? I've done it. I've been at those camps. Listen, I've been at those camps taking a fire, taking a piece of a stick, throwing it into a fire, some sin I'm getting rid of, crying, praying to my friends, talking about what I'm going to do for God when I get back fired up, excited. Only 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, sliding the wrong direction. You know why I think that happens? Because so many times it's about emptying things out of my life, but not learning to do well. You know what I don't want to happen? I don't want us to see 9 young people saved in our school and stop right there. Wouldn't it be a blessing if God called one of those young men to preach? Now, I know somebody said, well, no, that's not going to happen. Well, you know what? God could call one of them to preach. Wouldn't it be a blessing if one of those young ladies that got saved said, you know what, I've changed my mind about the direction of my life, and instead I just want to live for Jesus. And if God wants me to marry a missionary, that's what I want to be. If God wants me to use my talents in another way, I want to do whatever God wants. And the next thing you know, they're stepping farther down the road. But I'm going to say this, wouldn't it be good if that happened to all of us? Wouldn't it be good if God helped us take another step? Now, go back if you look at Isaiah, if you would. Now, Isaiah, now I've tried to pray about this and think about this. Isaiah chapter 1. The Bible says, learn to do well. So how do you do that? How do you learn to do well? Verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. I think that's the easy part. Now I've got to learn to do well. Well, that first word, learn, has a lot of thought in it. So I'm gaining information. I'm learning something. How many of you think that every one of these young people that got saved ought to have somebody discipling them? Absolutely. All right, that's gaining knowledge. And I think that ought to take place. But gaining knowledge is not the same thing as the phrase that says learn to do well. Learn to do well. How do you do that? That's a good question to ask. I've been asking myself that now for several days. I've talked to some of our men. What can we do at the school to help them learn to do well? What is the thing we can do to help them take the next step up? And I came to some conclusions from the passage. If you look with me, these are simple conclusions. He says, learn to do well, semicolon. So these attached phrases in verse 17 are part of completing that thought. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. So he tells you what doing well is. But I think more than just knowing what to do, there probably needs to be a who. So put another mark right there in Isaiah, if you would, and go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Would you do that? And I know we're using our Bible tonight, and I think we ought to use our Bible tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because I think we're at an important juncture at where we are in regards to real revival in life. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Do you see that in your Bible? I think instead of just asking the question, what, that there needs to be a question of, well, then whom do I learn to do well from? In the passage, I believe Paul is telling Timothy, remember, you learned some things from me, but not just me, because if you go back in chapter 1, he speaks about Lois, his mother, and his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. So there's some people in Timothy's life that he's learned something from. You remember Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said about this, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy rest, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How many of you think if you're in the yoke with Jesus Christ that you're probably the one doing all the learning, he's doing all the pulling? But he's showing you what to do. All right, now, how many young men in the past 2 weeks have said, God, I want you to have my life. I'm sold out 100%, whatever you want. Would you stand up? Any of our young men that way? All right, if you're standing, I want you to come this way. So we got some young men that have said, God, whatever you want. Now, I'm not doing it with the young ladies because I think this will be fitting. So here's what we're saying. All right, so you got these young men. They say, okay, so Jack, you said, God, whatever you want. Daniel, Patrick, all right, Jake, and Vincent, and Ronnie, one of our Bible college students. So now here's what I think needs to happen. For them to learn to do well, somebody needs to come alongside and say, I want you to do what I'm doing. All right? So whatever I do, guys, I want you to do what I'm doing. Can you do that? Now, y'all are not doing what I'm doing anymore. We have guests that are here tonight. We have people that were here this morning. Just do what I'm doing. Brother Few, we're glad to have you tonight. Appreciate you coming back. Yes, sir. Okay, wait. That is not what I did. No. There you go, Daniel. Do you understand? Listen to me. If we want to see our kids and we want to see people that have really gotten right, somebody needs to come alongside them and say, learn of me and do what I'm doing. I know somebody says that's prideful. No, it's not. If somebody's following Jesus Christ, Paul said, follow me even as I follow Jesus Christ. Amen. Who are they supposed to learn from? I tell you who they're not supposed to learn from. They don't need to be learning from Hollywood. Amen. They don't need to be learning from the mega churches. Amen. Come on, they don't need to learn that. They need somebody to show them what to do. Amen. Right. Y'all, let's try it again, all right? Brother Henderson, we are so glad to have you here tonight. And let me see if I got any money here. There you go, brother. God bless you. Well, see, y'all ain't, you're getting off easy. Y'all are doing shaking. You have any money in your pocket? You have any money in your pocket? You gave your money to your mother. Well, that's good. You have money in your pocket? You have money in your pocket? Why didn't you give him money? You got any money in your pocket? You don't have any money in your pocket? You got a credit card? Now stop. Now listen, listen. I know somebody's saying, that's so simple. Then why don't we do it? Come on, why don't we do it? Why don't we show them what to do? And it doesn't have to be somebody that's a young man. It could be somebody that just got right with God. You know, we've had some people that have visited the church that have just got right with God, that are trying to get their way back. You know what somebody needs to do? Hey, come and learn to me. Let me help you get down the road and not just get rid of all the garbage. Because here's where it is. All right, boys, y'all go ahead and throw all the garbage down in there. Get rid of all that stuff out of your life. Just start throwing it down in there. Go ahead, throw it in there. There you go. Get rid of all that garbage. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah! You know what? That's a whole lot easier than saying, hey, boys, y'all come with me and let's go visiting for a little while. I believe Daniel said, you led Matthew Chisholm to Christ. Is that right? Is that the first person you've ever led to Christ? First person you ever led to Christ. Have you ever seen somebody else lead somebody to Christ? Never seen anybody do that. That's a failure. I'll take responsibility for that. It shouldn't be that way. These young men ought to be able to see somebody else doing something that they can emulate. Learn to do well. Listen, I think we ought to praise God in church. Listen, all right, boys, y'all just do what I'm doing. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. But worshiping ain't just shouting. Sometimes worshiping giving. You got any more money? Let's go put it in the plate. The Bible says they worship Jesus Christ, and what they did is they opened unto him his treasure. Look at these boys smiling. They didn't have any money. Praise God. Good night. Y'all didn't know this was going to be costly, did you? Listen. Before we do what, it might be a better question to ask, who? Who? You know, I'd say, if you got six young men up here, and they say, we want to do something for the Lord, we've got enough preachers in this building. We got enough men of God that have been down. You don't have to be a pastor. We got enough men of God. There ought to be somebody that comes alongside and said, hey, won't you come go with me? Let me show you how you go and make a visit to one of our seniors. I got one person saying amen. You know why? Because it's a whole lot harder to learn to do well than it is to cease from doing evil. A whole lot more difficult. How many young ladies do we have that said, I'm all in, Lord. I'm done with all the stuff that I've been doing. I'm all in. How many young ladies would stand up? None of them are going to stand up because they're afraid I'm going to ask them for money. Who's that standing up back there? Who is that? Is that Rebecca? Allie? Praise the Lord. Me and Mo. Anybody else? Maybe. How about any adults? Any adults that said, God, I'm just giving you my life. Whatever you want to do, I'm determined. Amen, Jessica. Anybody else? Ms. Gillum? Amen. Amen, Lindsay. Amen, Bobby. Kimberly. Susie. Scott. Alyssa. Can you look around and see people that you might have an opportunity to help them take another step? And what I'm saying is this. If you guys have determined, I'm going to follow you, Lord, find somebody that you can get behind and say, help me understand what I need to do. You know, it's really not right to expect people to do something they've never been taught to do. Would you say amen to that? If nobody's ever taught them, nobody's ever showed them, nobody's ever spent any time teaching them, it's wrong on our part to get upset with them because they're not performing, because we need to teach them. Amen. And so the who, that's a big step. All right, thank you guys. You can go back to your seat. Some of y'all going back a little bit lighter, amen. I promise I'll take you out for that, whoever y'all put money in. Who put money in? Let me see your hand. Jack? Patrick? That'll be easy. Now go back to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And again, I told you I'm not going to be long. I'm going to be just pointed. So when he says learn to do well, all right, that means that there's somebody that we need to emulate. There's somebody that I need to learn from. There's somebody that I need to follow. But on top of that, look what else it says. He says, learn to do well and then seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. There's three groups of people right there I want to note. Number one, seek judgment. I'm going to say that is somebody trying to take and get in line with God. I'm trying to take and meet God's expectations. So in learning to do well, can I just offer a few things for you in that regards? How many of you think we ought to teach our kids how to pray? Teach them how to pray. My granddaddy would come over when I first got right with God, and he never said anything to me about, son, I'm going to teach you how to pray. But here's what he did. He'd eat a little bit, and then after a little while, he'd look at me and he'd say, Joel, let's go back to your room and pray. And we'd go back there, and he'd say, you go ahead and pray. And I'd pray 5 minutes. And he'd pray 25 minutes. And I would listen to him pray. And he'd talk to God, and he'd say things like, God, keep us sweet in our spirit, pliable in our soul. He'd start praying for my cousins and my nephews, and he'd ask God to touch their heart. And then he'd start praying for people that were lost out in the world. And I listened, and it helped me to learn how to pray. Learning how to pray. How many of you think that prayer is high on God's priority list? Come on now. Don't you believe that we're enjoying what we're enjoying because we've been a praying church in the last several weeks? We've increased what our prayer is. God's got prayer high on his list. How many of you think that telling other people about Jesus Christ and being a witness is high on God's list? How many of you think that God's not interested in the Masters as much as he's interested in somebody being born again? God's not as interested in the Super Bowl as he in somebody being trusted, somebody trusting Christ as their Savior. He doesn't care about the Kentucky Derby. He cares about somebody stepping out by faith and taking Christ as their Savior. That's what's at the top of his list. So who could we take to show them how to witness, how to worship? How many of you think that the church is high on God's priority list? Oh, he's in heaven right now. Oh, Brother Danny Rose. Danny Rose goes to the doctor and they ask him what his hobby is. He said, well, I don't have any. He said, well, what do you do in your spare time? He said, well, I go to the church and I work. He said, is that the only hobby you have? He said, well, that's what I like to do. And Danny would come here and he would change out lights. I was reminded, I was talking about changing out some lights, and they said, oh, no, Brother Danny Rose, he already took care of all. Those have all been changed. Listen, come on now. How many of you think it would be a good thing without having to sign up on a list for you to take your children, come to a church, and do something that would make God happy? How many of you think there's probably a lot to do around here in the way of cleaning? Okay, didn't have everybody participating. Let me help us all tonight. There is so much cleaning here that you could do. You could stay here all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and still not get it all done. You say, do you know how many window sills we have in this church? Do you know how many? I'm afraid to think. You see one of those windows right there? They all have a window seal. All the windows behind me in the building, behind the Randall building, they all have window seals. They all have glass. Preacher, let's go back to that thing where you're talking about getting rid of the biases. Now, let's just get rid of biases. Well, how about cleaning windows? Well, that's petty. Not when the windows belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a lot of landscaping beds that have been weeded, but there's some that haven't been weeded yet. You could pull weeds for Jesus. But look at the excitement building in the congregation. Oh, I can't wait. And that's why, you know why? You know why our children aren't interested in that? But we're not interested in that. Opening doors for somebody. Taking an umbrella when it's raining and walking people across the street. The last time that I tried that, I had people telling me, Pastor, you're not supposed to be walking me across the street. Why not? I don't want to get wet. I want to be under the umbrella too. Why not help somebody? Listen, there's so many things to do. You see this brass right here? This brass, all those things have to be polished. There is so much that you can do at the church. There are things to be stamped. There are letters to be sealed. And we have listen, some of you ladies, anybody help me testify? We have lots of letters that have to be sealed and stamped. Can I get a hand on that from anybody? Look, Miss Beth got her hand, both of them. They're shaking like this right here. Oh, that's not learning to do well. Oh, I understand. So probably staying home and watching something on TV or playing a video game, that'd probably be a little bit better than learning how to do well and keeping revival going. You know, I think the busier you are for the Lord, the more likely you are to stay out of trouble. Could I get an amen there?
Amen.
Finding something to do here. Learning to do well when you're talking about God. Then look at the next group. It says relieving those that are afflicted. You see that in your Bible? Look what it says. Relieving those that are the oppressed. That's the same thing it said in 1 Timothy chapter 5 about that widow. That's a widow indeed. That she relieved the afflicted. I think it would be good for us to teach people, to show them how to help broken people. Listen, there is bound to be somebody in here who could stand, not stand, who would lift their hand and say, "Preacher, I was broken when I came into church and somebody loved me, somebody helped me. And the reason I got saved or the reason I got right because there was somebody there that helped me get past all that brokenness." Is there anybody that could raise their hand with that? Anybody at all? Nobody. One. Anybody else? Two. Anybody else? Amen, Jace. When you see broken people, how do you help somebody that needs... You see the word there? Relieve. To relieve the oppressed. How do you comfort somebody? Can you show somebody that's trying to do right? This is how you comfort somebody. How do you show somebody how to refresh somebody? How to take and give them direction and try to give them stability? Whether you're putting your arm around them, praying with them. All I'm saying is this. We need to show people that say, "I want to live for the Lord." How do you help people that are broken? Because I'm going to tell you what we don't want to create. Well, we're all great. We don't need any help. We're not looking to help anybody. I think we ought to always have an open eye for those that are broken. Jesus Christ did. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ saw that man at the pool of Bethesda when nobody else looked at him. He saw a broken man. And you know what he did for that broken man? He touched his life and changed his world. Amen. How do we do that? You know, it's a whole lot easier to keep from being bitter and to complain about things that don't matter when you're trying to help somebody that's broken. I think it would be a good idea to go to a hospital every now and then and try to be an encouragement to somebody. And I'm not talking about our people. I'm talking about broken people. There's nothing like seeing somebody else in a condition that's worse than yours and, listen, hard to live in and trying to help them. Brother Ward is trying to get us into the downtown rescue mission. How many of you think we probably ought to go down there and preach the gospel?
Amen.
Sure. I hope Brother Rawl can get us into some jails. I know there's still so much with COVID, but getting into the jails, ladies getting in the jails. Our ladies in Alabama used to go into the jails on a regular basis and listen, try to help those ladies that were there. And I can hear somebody say, "Well, those people never make good church members." We're not trying just to build a church. We're trying to help people that are broken. How can we do that? Can we teach our young people that? Can we show some of these folks that stood up and said, let me show you how to help broken people? Then look at the third group and I'm finished. He says to judge the fatherless and plead for the widow. That's taking and putting somebody else above your own needs. And the fatherless would be way down the list for most people. The widows would be way down the list for most people. But how can we teach people to serve other people? You know, I think it'd be a good thing to do. We've got the widow's apartments up on the hill. You know what'd be great for you to do? Take your family up there and go visit them. Had one amen. Yeah, it'd be good. It'd be good if you take them up there. My kids, we used to go visiting, and we would always get some kind of little flower. We'd get some kind of a, I don't know, we'd get cookies. I don't know if we made cookies, but we'd have something. And Daniel would play his guitar. You remember that? So Daniel would take his guitar, and we'd show up at a widow's house. And there would be one of our kids going with the flower. Boy, you know, they weren't really excited about that when we started doing it. "Where are we going tonight, Daddy?" "We're going to go see some widows." "What are we going to do?" "We're going to sing." "What are we going to sing?" "What are we going to do?" "We're going to give them a flower. We're going to tell them that we love them." And then we get to some houses we'd go in. And boy, those older ladies, they say, "Oh, so good to see you. You're so cute and pretty in your dress." Daniel take out his guitar. He'd start playing. We'd start singing. They'd sit there and cry a little bit. And then one of them would walk out, take a little flower, and walk up to one of those ladies and say, of course, I probably said, "You smile when you give it now." "Thank you so much." And you know what we learned? It really is more blessed to give than to receive. You have somebody that says, thank you so much for coming by. Y'all please come back again. And then they'd see him at church. And then they might say something to them there. And then they might be. And all I'm just saying, we've got widows that are up that hill right there. You could take somebody up there and spend a little time up there and be an encouragement to them. But we've got all kind of people that you could be a blessing to. How many of you enjoy homemade cookies? Amen. Now we're getting a little more participation. How many of you would really enjoy if somebody brought you some homemade cookies? If you got your hand up, let me tell you what y'all do. Make you some homemade cookies and go carry them to somebody else. You say, why? Because it's more blessed to give than receive. Just be an encouragement to somebody. Take and cut their grass for them. Take and do something with their car for them. There's all kind of things you could do for a widow, for the fatherless, but for people in the church. You could put a little money in their hand. How many people enjoy when somebody puts a little money in your hand? I got one little boy, Aiden, raised his hand. Johnny, give him a $100 bill for that, all right? Sure you do. You appreciate, how many of you appreciate getting a card in the mail? People are raising their hand like this because you're afraid I'm going to tell you when to write some. We had a big drive. One of our guys in Alabama is a major in the Army, and he got sent to Iraq. And, you know, we were concerned about him. What's going to happen? Wife, two kids in our church. So what we decided to do, we decided we were going to put together boxes for these men that were over there. We got Starbucks coffee and all kind of other things. And he liked Oreos. And I had no idea there were 28,000 flavors of Oreos. And I mean, there were Oreos, double stuff, triple stuff, this kind, that kind, red velvet, all, I mean, everything you think of. And people brought all those things and I believe it was one of my children that, did you put a little money in one of those things? Is that what you did? I'm talking to you. You know who I'm talking to. Is that what you did? So one of my children back then, this would have been when they would have been much smaller. They said, I'm just going to take some money and I'm going to give it. And we sent those boxes over there to those soldiers. And it was such a blessing to me to see our people putting stuff together and writing notes and trying to be an encouragement to those men that were away from their families. And I get a call one day from that major, and he wanted to talk to my daughter. He wanted to tell her thank you. And he ended up sending her a flag that flew over their base there in Iraq in a wooden case and just told me how much of an encouragement it was that a child would send him some money and he wanted to give something back. We can help people learn to do well, but only if we're doing well toward God, toward broken people, and then toward our people. Just trying to be an encouragement. I don't know who does it, but I get stuff put in my car, on my car. I get stuff put in a box. I'm talking about clothes, ties, all kind of things that just keep... Somebody just keeps trying to be good to me. Then we have people, well, here's some bread, Pastor. I'm just saying, it is such a joy, a blessing to have people trying to be good to you. I want to try to be good back. I want to try to give back. I want to try to be a blessing back. And you know what? When you're doing that, you know what? It's a whole lot easier to stay out of sin. Amen.
Right.
It's a whole lot easier to keep momentum going forward in growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That garbage can right there needs to be filled with the filth that's in our life.
Yes, sir.
But we have got to learn to do well if we're going to sustain real growth and not watch it disappear. Now, you know, how do we do that? Find somebody, invest in them. Dr. Aiken put some chairs there. Dr. Aiken, did you put those chairs at the children's home for people to go over there and sit, talk to those children? Is that what you did? Put some chairs over there. There's all kinds of things you can be involved in. But don't just do them. Take somebody with you. Show somebody how to do well. And maybe God will help this thing just keep rolling on. Wouldn't it be good this time next year we're still talking about revival? That's a little bit weak right there. Oh, yeah, preacher. You know what? I think God's able to keep revival going for quite some time if we'll keep our heart right. More people get saved. More people get right. I mean, I hope I hear testimonies next week of some boys running around the parking lot because somebody got saved. God's able. He's able. So let's stand to our feet. Thank you for your attention tonight. I'm going to let Ken just play one verse on the organ. I don't want to deny anybody an opportunity to try to do business with the Lord, but I do want to say this. Listen, I learn to do well. Need to learn to do well. Some of you young people, some of you folks that got so much help in the meeting, learn to do well. Doing the things that are near to God's heart. Doing the things that are a blessing to others and to those that are broken. I believe we'll do that. That'll help us get far down the road.